May You Live in Interesting Times, originally published at the Last Bestial blog on February 13th of 2013, read to you by the author. In order to succeed at any worthwhile effort, people need to be able to work with each other reliably. If this is systematically disrupted by controlled opposition, or more than likely just your run-of-the-mill useful idiot, it then breeds a culture of fear where everyone is automatically suspicious of everyone else. A certain minimal amount of trust is necessary for there to be some feeling of camaraderie. Well over a year ago, I was one of the very few individuals who blew the whistle on the prevalence of infighting within the Patriot community. I even went so far as to coin the term internal balkanization, stating also that it was the number one threat to American patriots, as well as being the chief reason why they can't seem to accomplish much of anything positive, at least in the collective aggregate. Besides the lack of concrete milestones by which to measure any progress in securing our liberties, it is also very true what Randy Mack has said time and time again. As he puts it, we cannot learn to work together. Unfortunately, such is still the case today as I write this. Both Randy and I, not to neglect a handful of others who also know better, have been proven correct, exceptions to the rule notwithstanding. Thankfully, all is not lost. Ever since the advent of the Committee of Safety Common Law Court, the COSCLC, which is really just a pro bono dispute resolution organization, or at least it once was, there has been a steady, albeit painfully slow, effort to clean house of all the narcissistic demagogues, sycophantic cowards, and assorted miscreants. The only organization amongst the many political dissident circles to take the problem seriously, the COSCLC has provided a way to exercise the right of trial by jury outside the confines of the enemy rebel government. Without succumbing to the horrendous practice of trial by press, the CLC's grand juries have been able to fairly judge the accusations brought before them with the corresponding evidence by reaching a determination. How many other groups of one flavor or another can claim such a high level of teamwork that produces, at the end of the day, such a result? So, what has the CLC discovered? Oh, quite a bit, I assure you. Let's begin with Mascarenhas versus Tacoyac, verdict number 110401, where wannabe resistance leader James Tacoyac, alias Jim Stack, was found guilty by the grand jury, or shall I say petite jury, on four counts of defamation, three counts of slander, two counts of incitement, and one count of threat against Randy Mack. It would seem to be the case here that Freedom Fighter has no concept of interpersonal diplomacy and certainly does not keep his own counsel, considering that he was more than willing to throw Randy, whom you would assume he would have thought of as a fellow brother in arms, if only in spirit, under the bus without hesitation. Might it even suggest where his loyalties truly lie? Deborah Swan brought charges against WRAM founder and chief administrator Rick Light, alias Minuteman, in Swan versus Light, unanswered indictment number 120201, who was found under probable cause to have committed three counts of libel, two counts of defamation, one count of threat, one count of entrapment, one count of extortion, one count of being inimical to the Patriot community itself, and my personal favorite, one count of intimidating the CLC grand jury. I mean, who does this schmuck think he is? That he can just get away with lying about false death threats, knowingly give a child a so-called illegal firearm, and threaten to beat up a woman who has caused him no harm? Actions such as these are evocative of mafiosi and redneck trailer trash, not what is the proper or even just plain decent behavior of those who claim to be freedom fighters. Most recently, there has been the conclusion of Biaz versus Radowski, unanswered indictment number 120301. Where the alleged founder of the political activist organization We Are Change, Luke Radowski, was found, under probable cause, to have committed two counts of libel, one count of embezzlement, one count of extortion, and two counts of fraud. Apparently, this leader of the leaderless WAC was more than happy to lie with a straight face about how any and all donations were to go to one of two sources, neither of which was his own personal bank account, which ironically is where all the Modis ended up anyway. Whatever he may or may not have done after 2009 is unknown at this time, but it is certain, though, that he cleared a cool $60,000 plus starting in 2007. Everyone and anyone who crossed him, by simply asking for the financial records, was immediately demonized as a nutcase, and if they persisted, were blatantly accused of being not-so-undercover government agents. No trial, no jury, not even the faint equivalent of habeas corpus, just bang! Discredited only by virtue of a baseless accusation without any proof. Sounds just like the same secret police game the Soviets played with their own citizens, doesn't it? As if that wasn't bad enough, consider also the jurors who were negligent and or uncommitted in their duties that they voluntarily signed up for. Robert Handel, alias Green Mountain Patriot, and James Sims, alias J. Sims, both had to be placed on the CLC's wall of shame for willfully failing to keep their commitments. Sims seems to be the worst of the two because he deliberately antagonized the grand jury foreman, so at least Handel, to his credit, was considered enough to at least be silently dishonorable. In one way, Handel reminds me of that juror from Robert Heinlein's novel, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress, who negligently slept through a case he was supposed to be hearing. That juror was literally thrown out by the protagonist, Manuel O'Kelly, who was acting in the capacity of a judge. And then there was Mark Koenig, alias Smiter 13, who violated his secrecy oath that he willingly took when he volunteered to become a grand juror. Adding insult to injury, he completely lied about being strong-armed by government agents into sabotaging the Biaz versus Radowski case by calling into the Crotchot radio show and baiting the host, Louis B. To top it all off, even the Washington State militia ended up relieving him of his command. In other words, they kicked him out on his ass. Now, a common point of confusion that comes up every time I'm interviewed about the CLC are misunderstandings concerning its enforcement mechanism. Even thinking back on it, I am pretty appalled about how clearly different types of political dissidents are still absurdly ignorant regarding the power of ostracism. Based upon the liberty of association, ostracism is admitted by both libertarians and constitutionalists alike to be a peaceful way to deal with undesirables who seek to dominate and control others. Stefan Molyneux has said, quote, "All we need to do is publish their crimes for all to see and let the natural justice of society take care of the rest," close quote. Gary Hunt takes it one step further by stating that, quote, "It is time for us to be as serious about ridding ourselves of these subversive elements as we are about our individual causes, for all are doomed to failure unless we regain control of our own activities," close quote. Both men are absolutely correct about the need for dissidents of all kinds to choose their compatriots carefully. For as the old adage goes, you are judged by the company you keep. If there was ever a truly serious effort at taking the genuine alternative media back from the carnival of distractions, the COS-CLC is it. By at least trying to act as a referee of sorts, the CLC is able to provide a neutral setting where each side can get a fair hearing. Upon completion of a case, the value of the CLC's findings carry weight within the Patriot community because of its credibility. If somebody tries to spew sensationalistic bullshit that ends up harming someone else, then as long as a complaint is filed with the CLC, then there is a realistic chance the real truth will eventually come out. According to the old Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. Yeah, no kidding. With all these dopes, windbags and shills wittingly or unwittingly trying to discredit, demoralize, and discourage political dissidents from attempting to secure the liberty that is rightfully theirs, interesting times is the understatement of the decade. I can only hope more good people start taking whom they choose to associate with much more seriously. And who knows, maybe a brick-and-mortar version of the COS-CLC will spring out of its strictly digital incarnation and greatly improve from there. Only time will tell. You've just heard May You Live in Interesting Times, originally published at the Last Bestial blog on February 13th of 2013 and read to you by the author.